You're listening to Old New Borrowed Blue on 2SER with your host, Joel Kassam.
Hello and welcome to Old New Borrowed Blue on 2SER 107.3. Joel Kassam is my name. I hope you're doing well and thank you for joining me this week. If you're new to the show, this is where I invite a special guest into the studio each week and they take the musical reins by playing four of their favourite songs. And I just get to sit back and do very little. What a gig. All right, let's find out who we've got this week. My guest this week is considered Australia's number one stand-up ventriloquist, having received...
But only by me.
Oh, you've jumped in so early.
Only by me. I'm the best in my price range.
Oh, great.
Sorry.
That's okay. I'll try and get through the rest of it. Having received a ton of awards, it's the very funny Darren Carr. Welcome to the show, Darren.
Thank you, Joel. JC, I'll call you today.
That's fine, yeah.
Because it's a Sunday.
Yeah, that's true. If you're listening on a Sunday, it is a Sunday because we go out Sunday. Thank you very much.
Why did you have to think about that and I didn't?
Because I'm new to Sunday.
Fair enough.
It's all changed for me. So
fair enough.
There you go. Now, okay, I've got to ask, what came first, stand-up or ventriloquism?
The chicken.
Yeah.
Oh, no. Neither, really. I started as a musician because my dad was a musician, my brother's a musician. I started as a musician. And then I could just sort of see the writing on the wall for the music industry. And being 53 now, me behind a couple of turntables just didn't look good. It wasn't going to look good at any stage.
So you play tunes. Did you play any instruments or anything?
Yeah, I played guitar and drums and sang and was in a few bands. And actually, I was lucky enough to be professional for years.
Okay.
So, yeah, I avoided a day job for a long time. And then I got to 30, got divorced, and sort of went, what do I really want to do in my life? And like most middle-aged men, I went, I know, I want to become a ventriloquist.
Yeah, I was just thinking that on the way over here, actually. Okay, so I guess entertainment sort of in your blood. Were your parents both, you said your dad played music?
Musical family. Dad was a piano player in a marching band. Ba-dang! And Mum used to harp a lot. Double whammy. No, Dad was a piano player. He had the band at St George Lee's Club in Sydney, in the great years of Clubland. So he had 16-piece band and everything, and played with everyone from Tina Turner through to Olivia Newton-John and the Bee Gees and everything. So he had a great nighttime job, and his daytime job was playing piano on play school, which he did for 25 years. Mum was in the entertainment industry. She used to work for an entertainment agent,
okay.
So she sort of knew the industry a bit. And so it was sort of, yeah, it wasn't frowned upon when I wanted to be a musician. But, yeah, as I said, it just sort of, I remember the day I was about 10. Dad was playing at Roseland Shopping Centre and they used to have a special guest artist perform. And it was a guy called Chris Kirby, who anyone over the age of 60 might remember. But Chris Kirby and Terry. And Terry was his little doll and they performed and I just watched them. And from that moment on, I was hooked on ventriloquism. Never ever considered doing it for a living.
Right. Did you get into it? Did you start doing it?
Oh, there was a book at school library, which I still own to this day.
So
when I say own,
it?
I borrowed. Yes,
yeah.
borrowed. I didn't
sorry,
pinch.
Sorry.
I borrowed. Sorry, Trinity Grammar. I'm sure they can afford it. But yeah, that sort of piqued my interest as well and kept it going. Then my grandmother bought me a doll and all that sort of thing. You know, typical. It's sad, really.
No,
help,
it's not.
Help me.
Because it's different, and I like that it's different. That's why I wanted to get you on the show, because you can get comedians and you can get, you know, all sorts of stuff like that.
Well, say it's different, that's exactly what I was aiming for when I was 30. I was like, I want to do something for a living that I'm going to enjoy. I knew I could do comedy because I'd done a bit in the band, but I just decided, right, that was it. I can do ventriloquism because, A, there was like two guys around doing it, so I knew there was, you know, supply versus demand was on my side.
Mm-hmm.
And... yeah, I just wouldn't be another comedian as such. You know, there's a lot of them around already. So.
Yeah, exactly.
So, yeah, it was more of a business decision to become a ventriloquist, but
yeah.
I was lucky that it was also a passion.
So you said you started this around 30,
mm-hmm.
and you were 10 when you sort of first picked up
mm-hmm.
a doll.
Yeah.
Do you call them dolls or puppets? What's
doll,
what's
dummy,
the PC term?
Lover? It depends what time of the week it is.
Okay, as long as it doesn't go down.
Excuse me. It's a Sunday.
Sorry. And it's early. People are leaving church. I'm very sorry, everyone. Okay, in your childhood, did you get to use ventriloquism a bit? Did you practice?
No, I didn't practice at all.
No,
okay. It was just an interest, and I had the doll and couldn't do it for the life of me. It was the same with a lot of hobbies I had. Sport, clearly, from the look of me, was only a hobby. And I did a bit of magic and stuff like that. Ended up being a clown at children's parties, which was a nice little earner on the side.
Yeah.
Just things like that. There was always an interest in stuff like that. And luckily, I just happened upon it exactly at the right time.
Well, there you go.
So.
And you found your old book?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I did, actually. I didn't steal it on purpose. It went missing. And when we moved a couple of years later, I found it down behind my bed. So I thought, well, I'll keep it now.
Yeah.
You know.
It's here now.
You know. Dad was paying $20,000 a term for Trinity. I'm sure they could afford a $3 book.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to Old New Borrow Blue, and I'm joined by ventriloquist and comedian Darren Carr.
That was me saying that then. That was I'm working Joel with my foot.
You your voice so well. Let's get into the tunes. What's the old song you've gone with today, Darren?
Try a Little Kindness by Glen Campbell, who recently departed, unfortunately. Wonderful talent, and not many people know. He was a great guitar player and played on all the Beach Boys hits and was asked to be... He was a member of the Beach Boys at one stage. Yeah, he did. He had a great career and then became huge in America. But this song was taught to myself and my brother by my dad as a song we could sort of do it, you know, as everyone's, you know, can your dad play the piano for us at parties? And so he'd get the two of us to sing a song. And this was the song that we sang since we were God knows how old.
Okay, brilliant. This is Try a Little Kindness.
Yeehaw!
Brother standing by the road with a heavy load from the seeds he sowed. And if you see your sister falling by the way, just stop and say, when you're going the wrong way, when you've got to try a little kindness, yes, show a little kindness, just shine your light for everyone to see. Narrow-minded streets. Don't walk around the down and out, lend a helping hand instead of doubt. And the kindness that you show every day will help someone along their way. You've got to try a little kindness, yes, show a little kindness, let's shine your light for everyone to see. And if you try a little kindness, then you'll overlook the blindness, narrow-minded people on the narrow-minded street.
That'll be Glen Campbell with Try a Little Kindness. Do you know much about the history of ventriloquism?
I do.
Okay.
Yeah.
Can you give us a little...
It started in the early Middle Ages.
Sure.
They used to be people like priests and stuff, and they used to talk to the dead, and they'd get money from the relatives. I can talk to your, you know, long-departed grandfather, and the spirits will rise, and he will say, you know, they were ventriloquists. They used to just...
Would they stand up in front of everyone, throw their voice?
Yeah.
They wouldn't have
a doll. They wouldn't pull the coffin open and pull the doll. Pull the guy out. No, that'd just be a little bit weird. No, but that's how it started. It was a...
Right.
Yeah.
Spiritual
ventriloquism is... It's a Latin
Okay.
terminology.
Yep.
I think I could probably be wrong here, but ventro means from the belly and loqui means to talk.
Okay.
Yeah, so to talk from the belly. You're a belly talker.
Yeah, right.
So that's what they used to do.
That's very interesting.
And that's how it started. So it wasn't until like the early 1900s that a guy decided to get a puppet.
Yeah.
And
have some fun and talk. With it.
Yeah. It was always very serious, but...
Oh, was it?
It was never a comedy thing until sort of vaudeville hit.
Okay.
And then it became funny.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Did you look up to anyone?
In Australia, Chris Kirby was my guy.
Yeah.
He had a Tonight Show on Channel 9. He was on every conceivable variety show on TV in Australia. He went to the States and did some stuff over there. And, he was a great guy. Very clever ventriloquist. Very clever writer. He ended up being a writer for Neighbours for years, actually, when he...
Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay.
But he only passed away a couple of years ago now, which
All right.
was very sad. But a lovely man, very talented, and someone to look up to.
Yeah.
You know, that was the thing for me. It was like, I want to get to achieve what he achieved, which was getting to the top of, you know, where he could go.
Mm-hmm.
And,
Well, you've done some TV appearances and whatnot.
Oh, I wouldn't say that. I was on Australia's Got Talent.
Mm-hmm. That's TV.
Well, is it? And so it should be Australia's Got Judges, because it's sort of, I think they get a lot more airtime than the actual acts do. But that was interesting. It was an eye-opener. And I got through to the end of the semis or the final or whatever they call it on that. So that was good. But I was already working well and truly before that.
Okay.
So, yeah, when I started in, when was it, 95, let's say, around there.
Yeah.
I did the clubs,
yep.
The RSLs, performing for the oldies. And then I did the cruise ships,
yeah.
Which is like a floating RSL. And then I got into the corporate market, which is basically what I do now. So it's all businesses and conferences and stuff like that.
Okay. Tell us a little bit about your characters.
My main character is a mini-me.
Okay.
His name is Daryl, and he looks like me, just a slight difference in the weight. But he's balding and pretty much says what I can't say.
Okay.
Which in the world of political correctness now is pretty much everything I've found, which is, that's a big thing now that's changed in the last couple of years. The political correctness has just gone crazy to the point where you can't even mention another country on stage. Otherwise people go, haven't even done a joke about it. But, you know, so it's good that I've got him, because a lot of other comedians hate me because he can say this stuff. As long as I stand there and go, don't say that.
Yeah, exactly.
I get out scot-free.
Where do you come up with ideas for characters, or how does that happen?
Oh, it's basically just based on people, really. Like, he was based on me.
Yeah.
Just, I thought that would be sort of cleverish. Just try to get away from the cheeky boy doll that most ventriloquists have. And then I saw David Strassman come along with Teddy Bear and Chucky and all that, and that sort of opened my mind up a bit to what could be done with ventriloquism. And I've got a few other characters. I don't use them much.
Mm-hmm.
I've got an old man that's very forgetful and a drunk koala. Yeah, just there's a few sitting in boxes at home.
Like.
But Daryl gets the majority of the work.
Darren Carr is here with you today. Let's jump into your new track.
Mm-hmm.
What have you gone with?
I can't even remember the actual title of the song. It Don't Buy You Love?
You do remember the
it
title.
It Don't Buy You Love. Now, this song, I'm going to give my brother a bit of a
shout-out.
Shout-out here. My brother's a great singer-songwriter. In other words, he writes songs about sewing machines. Ba-damn. He wrote this with Drew McAllister from the band McAllister Kemp, who aren't around anymore, but Drew's still out there working, who's a wonderful singer, great singer. And my brother's a great songwriter. And they got together and wrote this song. And when I heard it for the first time, it just blew my mind. It's a typical country song, as in it's got a story and you can understand the lyrics. But it's just a corker of a tune. And very proud of my brother for coming out with this one.
It was awesome. All right. Well, It Don't Buy You Love, McAllister Kemp.
Mm.
Made a man sitting in a bar. Bought him a beer, said, you seen that car? Parked out back. Said, yeah, that's my Cadillac. Said he'd worked hard all his life. Raised two kids, still loved his wife, Mary Ann. I thought, what a lucky man. I said, if I work hard like you, do you think I got a shot? He said, if you do, make sure you don't end up with what I got. I got friends I never see. Got two kids who never talk to me. Got a wife sleeping in a separate bed. And a birthday coming up, I know they'll all forget. And as for money, I got more than enough. But let me tell you, son, it don't buy you love. Things in life a father shouldn't miss. Days kids take their first steps. Well, I did, and I regret. Graduations, anniversaries, hanging tinsel on that Christmas tree. They did alone, 'cause I was never home. He said, if you work hard like me, yeah, I think you got a shot. He said, if you do, make sure you don't end up with what I got. I got friends I never see. I got two kids who never talk to me. Got a wife sleeping in a separate bed. And a birthday coming up, I know they'll all forget. Said, as for money, I got more than enough. But let me tell you, son, you don't buy love. Well, I worked real hard to get where I am. There's times I can't help thinking what a lucky man. I got friends I often see. Got two kids, love hanging out with me. And my wife sleeping there by my side. And a birthday coming up, yeah, I love my life. And as for money, well, we don't have much. Like that man said, it don't buy you love. Yeah, like that man said, don't buy love.
Yes, it don't buy you love. McAlister Camp. My guest today is Darren Carr. You were saying your brother co-wrote that song.
Sorry, I'm still tearing up here. It's such a beautiful song.
It's very cool.
No, it is. It's a nice song and just nice sentiment.
Yeah,
it is.
Very lovely.
No, yeah, he's a songwriter and very proud of my little brother. He's done really well for himself.
Yeah, actually, you were saying Golden Guitars.
He's won a couple of Golden Guitars and he's done a heap of stuff. But he's not well known by any means. But
doesn't matter. Very impressive family you have.
He's very well respected in the country music scene.
Lovely. Going back to ventriloquism, how much of what you do is ad-libbed?
Probably 20%, I'd say, on an average job. They're all different. All the jobs are different. One night you're working for a plumbing company. The next night it's a sporting do.
Mm-hmm.
The next night you're doing Catholic Church's insurance seminars.
Right.
So it's a different kettle of fish every time. And you've really got to be able to ad lib, because something's going to happen every night.
Yeah.
People react differently to the doll, and the doll does engage with the audience quite a bit. So you never know what's going to come back at you.
Yeah.
But I've got a sort of, I wouldn't say even a set show. I've got bits that I do, because some bits are going to be, fine for Catholic Church insurance.
Yeah.
And then certainly not going to work at, the Ulladulla football presentation night.
Yeah, exactly. So. Yes. How many letters in the alphabet frustrate you?
There's five.
Okay.
Generally. The basis of ventriloquism is you're talking without moving your lips.
Yes.
And there's only five letters we actually use our lips for, which is P, B, F, M, and V.
Okay.
Everything else You know, there's a couple of just like
A why.
Yeah, but you don't say why. In
yeah,
a,
you don't.
It's a year, like yeah. yellow. So yeah. It's like W. You don't say W ever. It's a W.
Yeah.
So if you're saying, the way I learned anyway was that you use a different letter, you use a substitute. So if you're trying to say a P, you use T.
Well, that's there very interesting. Go.
There we go. I've just killed my career. Everyone's going to be doing it now.
Okay, we have to get into your borrowed song now. Mm-hmm. Do you remember what you called me?
I have, actually. This is a song I heard the writer, Bill Anderson, write. I heard him sing it at the Grand Old Opry in Nashville a few years ago, and I just heard the song and went, what a great song. Just funny song, and it's been released by John Schneider, I think his name is. But I called it a borrowed song because every January I go to Tamworth and do the country festival, and I have a little band. Which is I get to play muso for 10 days.
Yeah.
And we do this song. So it's my borrow. I borrow this song every January to play.
All right.
Just a cute little song.
She always spoke of going back to Texas. But then again, she sure didn't like Key West. Well, heaven only knows where my ex is, but at least she's giving my poor old heart some rest. Wherever she is, I hope she stays there. Whoever she's with, he's welcome to my nightmare. It sure is nice in paradise without her in my hair. Wherever she is, I hope she stays there. She told me you ain't nothing like my daddy. She told me how to dress and how to drive. She told me you don't kiss like my old boyfriend. But my favorite thing she ever told me was goodbye. Wherever she is, I hope she stays there. Whoever she's with, he's welcome to my nightmare. It sure is nice in paradise without her in my hair. Wherever she is, I hope she stays there. And in case that woman never gets the urge to find me, I got a new phone number, a new email, and an unlisted driveway. Malibu, I don't care. Wherever she is, I hope she stays there. And girl, if you're listening somewhere, please stay there.
Wherever she is. John Schneider's version there. Very nice.
Yeehaw.
I liked it.
It's a beautiful, beautiful sentimental song.
Our songs on Old New Borough Blue today are picked by my my guest, stand-up ventriloquist Darren Carr. Before we get into your blues song, I should ask you some other questions. You know, like other things. We've talked about ventriloquism and stuff now. What do you like to do when you're not being a ventriloquist or a comedian?
Well, according to my partner, hello, Helen, I love doing renovations.
Oh.
Not. No, I don't really do much. I love watching old documentaries about music and stuff like that. Great new documentary just out on Eric Clapton, which was wonderful.
Yeah.
Yeah, just stuff like that keeps me interested. I'm pretty full-time with stuff, so I tend to like to switch off from it when I'm not doing it. But there's a lot of time spent, you know, with jokes, writing jokes, and then you've got agents to deal with and, you know, airfares and hotel.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of that. It's not just getting on stage for half an hour.
No, of course.
It's a lot of that. So, and if anything else, a bit of close-up magic.
Yeah.
I like sitting around with a pack of cards and amazing myself because no one else in the family's interested.
I know that feeling all too well. And not just with magic. Darren Carr, thank you so much for coming in today. It's been a lot of fun.
It's no way I'd rather spend a wonderful Sunday morning.
Don't give it away.
Sorry.
We have to play your blues song now.
Sure.
What have you gone with?
Well, this is my brother from another mother. This is a guy called Buddy Good, who's 2-time ARIA Award winner for Comedy Album of the Year. It is actually my brother, and very proud of him for the 5 albums he's done as Buddy Good. This is one of my favourite songs that he's written.
Okay, Darren Carr, thank you so much.
My pleasure.
This is You Ain't Mine, and I have to say it's been Buddy Good having you.
Oh, good one. I should do this for a living.
My little boy came to me crying. He said, Dad, I'm old enough to know the truth. Why have I got red hair and freckles? Why don't I look anything like you? I said, son, not everyone can be this lucky. And I know at times it really hurts. And I wiped away those tears that he'd been crying and healed his pain with these 3 simple words. You ain't mine.
You ain't mine.
You ain't mine.
You ain't mine.
One more time.
You didn't hear the first time.
You ain't mine. You see, son, your mama liked a bit of loving. She loved to be wined and dined. Rose petals on her pillow. She was quite the romantic kind. After a glass or 2 of vino, she'd slip off her underwear and say things like, come here, darling. It's just a shame I was never there. You ain't mine.
You ain't mine.
You ain't mine. One more time.
You didn't hear the first time.
You ain't ginger. A chip off someone else's block.
you ain't mine.